Good evening. I'd like to welcome everybody out to our Wednesday night services. I wanted to give thanks for this opportunity to speak to you this evening, and thanks for the prayers on my behalf. This evening, I wanted to study with you about the topic of apologetics. I previously mentioned this briefly in my last sermon that was over the question, how do we know that Jesus is the Son of God? And I wanted to go into more detail about apologetics. In this sermon, we will cover what apologetics is and how we can make a defense of our faith within us. We will also look at the differences between apologetics and theology. Then we will look at biblical examples of who were apologetists and how we can use apologetics in our lives. First, we want to ask the question, what is apologetics? If you're me who looks at things literally, you might think that this is a plural form of the word apologetic, but the definitions are completely different. Both these words still have the same root word coming from the Greek language apologia, which means to make a defense or speech in defense. Apologetics is defined as a reasonable defense of our faith that is within us. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, we see that we as Christians are called to defend the hope that is within us. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." Here in this verse, Peter is writing to those who are possibly going through persecution and hard times in what is now the country of Turkey. Those who were going through persecutions due to their beliefs in Jesus Christ. Peter first opens this letter strongly, giving a defense of the great faith that the people of Asia Minor have. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, saying, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genius of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with a joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." In these verses, Peter talks about a heavenly inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled. Through Christ's resurrection, giving them hope that there is righteous salvation given from the Father in heaven. Apologetics is a defense of this hope that lives within us, that we are able to give to those who ask. So, what is not a part of apologetics? Apologetics is a constructive and intellectual conversation, giving a defense of one's faith using objective truth in this conversation. Objective truth is a fact or reality independent of one's personal belief or opinions. To give an example of this is to say that 1 + 1 is equal to 2 with the context of arithmetic and logic. Something that is outside of this, or that is a subjective truth, is to say that the Dallas Cowboys are the best professional football team around, as long as you stay in the bounds of Dallas, Texas. This would be a personal opinion that the Dallas Cowboys are the best football team, but you look at it logically, their record does not show that to be true, implying that this statement is of someone's opinion, regardless of facts and verifiable evidence. So applying objective truth in apologetics is to use logic and objective facts and not to lean on one's personal opinions. It is also not a justified argument to show a show of force upon someone. We as Christians are to be humble in our defense and to give a good, and to have a good conscience, giving those who see us as evildoers might be ashamed of their accusations towards us. So what is this defense that we... So what is this defense, and what are we as Christians to defend in apologetics? To first answer this question, we must look back at 1 Peter chapter 3 and see what we are to give a defense for. And 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15 says, "But sanctify the Lord in your heart and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for this hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Here in this verse, we are to always be ready to defend the hope of Jesus Christ that is in our hearts, a defense that is not an attack on others that question our beliefs. We are to defend the faith that is to show others what Jesus Christ has done for us. So how are we to be ready at all times when we don't know when we will be approached with something? We must always be ready to give a defense to everyone that asks. So we must look towards God's word constantly and continuously. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understandings." We are to let the word of Christ dwell in us and not lean on our own understandings. In giving this defense, we might be able to help build and strengthen others in their faith. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 9 through 11 says, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing." Here in these verses, we as Christians are to encourage each other in the faith, to help build and strengthen each other to be able to overcome life's doubts. We are not to resort to wrath on others for their actions and ways, but admonish them to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who bled and died for our sins that were not yet committed. In doing this, we might be able to persuade others to follow after the faith by giving themselves to Christ and be reborn through baptism. Some people get the thought of apologetics wrong and think it's a way to win arguments, but in reality is to spread the saving graces of God that has given us through his Son. Though there will be times when there are those who just want to argue for the sake of arguing, not wanting to find truth, but to stir up people's emotions and anger. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 and 16 says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness." We as Christians are to be diligent workers in the kingdom, to bear fruit worthy of harvesting, and to help lead others to God through Christ the Savior. We are to keep the fruitless conversations that bring no benefit to either party, and to keep from raising anger in our conversations. Apologetics is for the benefit of God's kingdom and not for our own selfish gain. In looking at apologetics, I wanted to define the differences between apologetics and theology, both having the belief of God, but can be different in how we use them in our lives. Theology is derived from the Greek theos, meaning God, and logos, meaning word or discourse. Then altogether, meaning speaking about God. Its basis is the concept of one true creator and the study of their creation. Theology is also defined as the study of religious beliefs, especially to God's nature and his relationship with the world. This is also the examination of biblical texts and the traditions found inside the Bible. Theology is ultimately the study of God, His Word, and the beliefs founded in God. But apologetics is the defense of those beliefs. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14 says, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love." In the closing part, in the closing of Paul's first letter to the Corinthian church, he tells them several things to do before he is able to return back to their church. He tells them to watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, and do all things with love, watching out for spiritual dangers that lie in wait to make claim on them. To stand fast in the faith is to stand strong in their beliefs in God and His salvation plan that He set up for us. To be brave and strong, meaning to stand up for what is right and be strong in one's faith and in God's Word, so that others may know the ultimate truth that leads to salvation. In using apologetics in our lives, we must do the same. We must watch out for spiritual dangers in our lives so that we may be an example worthy of God's kingdom. We must stand fast in the faith where others falter and bring others down with them. And being that example like Christ, we might be able to strengthen others' faith, bringing them closer to God. We must also be brave and strong in the Word of God, for the adversary is like a roaring lion leading and willing to devour what Christ has built up in us, as said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, saying, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." We as Christians must hold these attributes strongly in our lives so that we might be able to spread and defend the gospel to those who are lost to sin. So in looking at the Bible, who were some examples that used apologetics? We know that Jesus, when he was here on earth, used the Old Testament scriptures and his actions to reason with others through his teachings to show that he was the Messiah that God had sent. He did not use force on others. He did not use force for others to believe that he was the Messiah. He used through his teachings to show that he was. In the parable of the wicked vine dressers, Christ tells the elders and Pharisees their outcome due to their sinful ways. In Matthew chapter 21, verses 33 to 46, saying, "Hear another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. And he leased to a vine dresser and went into a far country. Now, when vintage time grew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruits. And the vine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did likewise to them. Then, last of all, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance.' So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers?" They said to him, "He will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their seasons." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, and whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. Now then, the chief priests and Pharisees heard this parable, and they perceived that he was speaking of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitudes because they took him for a prophet. Here, Jesus uses a tactic to show them their sinful ways. He tells them of the wicked vine dressers and how they abuse their power given to them by the landowner. In reality, Jesus was showing them that they were the wicked vine dressers who had beaten and killed the prophets that God had sent to them and ultimately sending his son to the same people. Jesus uses the scriptures to show them that he was the stone that the builders rejected. In Psalm 118, verses 22 and 23, saying, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." Then Jesus tells them, due to their incompetence of being God's chosen people, the kingdom would be taken away from them and given to those who bore fruit worthy of harvest. Those who rejected God's kingdom would ultimately be crushed by the chief cornerstone whom they had rejected. Here, Jesus could have used harsh words to wake them up, but he used a tactic of self-accusation on the Pharisees. They knew that they were in the wrong, but they still didn't change their ways due to their love of power and authority. Another example of someone who used apologetics is Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul uses in this chapter objective truth in spreading the gospel. Starting in verse 1 of verse 15, saying, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas and by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time." In these verses, Paul is using the knowledge of others that saw Jesus Christ after his resurrection. Using this objective truth, others might also believe in the faith and obey the gospel. So how can we as Christians use apologetics in our lives? How can we use this to better our spiritual lives and others that we come into contact with? First, we must know our faith. Faith is defined in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, saying, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." We as Christians must have a solid foundation of faith to be able to tell others about the hope that we have within us. We must reflect on our inner beliefs and morals and make sure that they align with what is in the Bible. There are many verses in the Bible that reflect these core values that we are to have, as in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, saying, "Let the Lord of Christ dwell in you richly and in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, sing with grace in your heart to the Lord." And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5, saying, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." In many more verses like these, We should have the same morals and ethics that are shown in the Bible. For if you don't have any of these morals or values, how can others look at you and your life and see Christ working through you if you do not obey God's will? In using apologetics in our lives, we must also have good communication skills to format and paint the picture that has shown us the path of salvation. With good communication skills, our desire is to use it for good in building up others. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Without clear and direct speaking for others to understand is like speaking to nothing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 9 says, "So likewise you, unless you utter by tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air." In knowing both our faith and having good communication skills, we are able to build a case for our faith for others to see and benefit from. We're able to use our life experiences to our advantage. Whether it is a good or bad experience, we are able to show and teach others how to seek after God through those situations. Without continuous study of the Bible, we are able to build our knowledge in the hopes of teaching others about God and His path of salvation. In concluding this study of apologetics, we looked at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, at how we as Christians must be ready to give a defense for the faith that we have within us. This leads us to needing to know the Word of God and live it out in our lives as examples worthy unto God. We also looked at the differences between theology and apologetics, theology more or less being the study of religious beliefs, and apologetics is the defense of those beliefs. We then looked at some examples in how we as Christians can use apologetics in our lives. I pray that this study was a benefit to you all and able to give you a defense of the faith that you have within you. We would like to offer an invitation to those who may be in need of prayers or help from the church. And we would like to invite those who are seeking after that relationship with God through giving themselves to Him through baptism. We invite you to come sit on the front row as we stand and sing the invitation song.